Helena, the mother of Constantine, was a peasant, low-born family person. And she managed to attract the eye of a nobleman and get married. And in his rise to power, eventually, forget the affection, he had to marry someone else, wanted to marry someone else to facilitate his rise to power. And he divorced her. So you have sort of, as a setup at the beginning of the story, you have this affectionate stance, and then this drive for power. And they're placed in the position of each other. And Helena's son, Constantine, has great affection for her. She's very dear to him. And when he becomes emperor, he brings her back into the court, back into power, names her Augusta Imperatrix. So she is brought into the very power that her ex-husband was seeking by divorcing her. But she's brought into that power and position because of the affection of her son. So it's kind of an interesting thing to watch there, right? And one of the great, I think, lessons in the story of the Empress Helena is her affection. She advances by her affections shared with her son and her. She reminds us that it is often our affections that generate our commitment, that generate our drive, that make us express what's truly important to us. Many times that happens because of our affections. And so because Helena had affection for her son and affection for Jesus, with her son's encouragement, she goes off on her adventure to go to Jerusalem, to follow in the steps of Jesus. And that affection leads her to do very sort of pious things appropriate to someone whose name is Augusta Imperatrix. She builds churches, right? And were that the end of the story, we'd be like, well, yeah, that's nice. I mean, a rich woman went out and built churches. But her affections drove her. So she didn't just build churches, she also cared for the poor. She didn't just build churches, she served the poor with her own hand. Which is exactly the opposite of what you expect from someone named Augusta Imperatrix. And so we see how her affection and her emotional attachments, to use a modern phrase, shape all that she does. It is her affection for Jesus as her building churches. It is her affection for Jesus and her affection for her people that has her establishing hospitals and schools and venues for feeding people who are poor and in need. So her affection of Christ. One of the things I love about the Micah images in the piece that we read this morning is the idea of everyone sitting under their vine, having their own vine and their own plants and their own source of food. And the imagery of sitting under your vine is a Feast of Booths image. It's that fall festival after the high holy days When booths are made with vines and branches, you can only use natural things to make your booth. And then what do you do in the booth? You have picnics with your family and friends. So that the imagery of everyone sitting under their own vine carries with it that sense not only the abundance that God will give at the end of time, but also of the emotional attachments and the affection that will be present then when we all have booths in which to have picnics with our friends and loved ones. The story of the women wailing over Jesus reveals to us the fact that people didn't just listen to his teaching or weren't just moved by his healings, but that they also had affection for Jesus. They had a passion for him, an attachment to him, left them feeling grief as he's carrying his cross. And so, on the Feast of St. Helena today, one of the things that occurs to me to ask you and to invite you to go and think about as you leave this place is, what are your emotional attachments to Jesus? What are the feelings that have you following Jesus? What are the attachments, the affections, the connections that you feel that have you following Jesus? We talk a lot about theology. We talk a lot about what things mean. We talk a lot about the implications of our faith, and those are all good things, God knows. But it also benefits us every now and then with the pious St. Helena to ask about our emotional attachments to Jesus, our affections. Because the one who proclaimed the love of God not only proclaimed meaning, but also affection.